hey, Mr. Techno Nerd, you caused a breach. I want you to fix this, and you're telling all my clients you don't want to have that deer in the headlights kind of look.
And we're like, shut the lights off. Shh, be quiet.
Everybody get down.
Get down. Shh.
Like what you do on Halloween when you don't have any candy.
Yeah, I know.
You're listening to the Help Me With HIPAA podcast, where HIPAA and humor collide to make learning fun. Your delightful hosts are Donna Grindle and David Sims. Relax. HIPAA help is on the way.
Welcome to the Help Me With HIPAA podcast. My name is David Sims from HIPAA for MSPs, and joining me is Donna Grindle from Cardin Compliance. We're back in the regular seats this week.
I know. It feels more normal. It feels way more normal.
For you to feel normal is not normal.
Hey, now. Hello, kettle.
Yeah. Okay. So you're normal. Yeah. Right. Okay.
Yeah.
We'll move on.
We'll go with that. It feels more normal.
So I'm back from DC. It was great. DC was great. It's the first time I've ever been up there. So really? Now I want to go back.
Where you can just hang out.
Yeah, because it was it was funny with me. I went with a friend who actually went to one of the boot camps that we had in Georgia, and he's also an IT guy. So he and I went together, and we only had like 2 or 3 hours to try to see DC on the last day before we left out. And, you know, we start walking around, and then we quickly realize that things are spaced out a pretty good bit.
So
we go from walking to brisk walking to we run into this place where you can rent bicycles. You know, it's kind of a kiosk. So we, next thing you know, we're on a bicycle and we're riding around on these bikes, which was funny in and of itself. Because we really look like cyclists, right?
Yeah, I know, really. I bet the wheels were wiggling. And
I know. So we're doing that thing and riding around. And, man, it was just Secret Service and Capitol Police and Park Police and State. They were everywhere.
They heard you were there.
Yeah, I guess. And so I had to back off on the bomb jokes. But, you know, people were, you know, everywhere you went, there were people marching on for different reasons. They were protesting all over the place. And it was just very different from my day-to-day life.
Yeah.
I usually only have one or two people protesting. I don't have. And
it's your relatives, so you're good to go there. I know. Yeah. You get to be in charge.
Yeah. But it was fun. It was fun. Met a lot of great people and scared a lot of people about HIPAA. So more than once I heard, you're scaring me, stop. So
that I could hear you saying that, but you had a good talk and people showed up and that was good. I know everybody's fear is no one will show up. They'll get other options and think something else is better.
Yep. Yeah. Cause I had, you know, we did talks at the same time. Other vendors were talking, which were, some of them were pretty big vendors in the space, but, I think I got some attention.
Yeah,
There's a possibility, because you know me, I'm always talking to people, that we may end up having some big time vendors come on the show because, you know, I pitched that while I was there.
Oh, well, thanks for telling me.
I did. I just told you now.
Okay, then.
So, anyway, so where are you going to be here coming up?
I know
it's changed a lot. It's changed a lot.
Things are bouncing around. There's a lot of stuff that's happening because, you know, we had some stuff get moved because of the hurricane, moved other things, and, you know, where people all of a sudden can't do things because, I don't know, the office was shut down for no power for a week. But anyway, so now my gig for September the 22nd, which would be like tomorrow, is being moved. They're in the process of working on another date. Then October 13th at the Georgia Pediatric Practice Managers Association meeting, I'm going to be there. North Metro MGMA was the 17th of October. It's now been moved to the 24th. The HFMA Fall Institute, I was on the 8th. They may move me to the 9th. Now I don't know for sure. Of November. and the Georgia Association of Orthopedic Executives on November 10th. They're sticking with it, and I'm very happy right now about that because I'm getting so confused about my own schedule. But it's good, yeah. And we're booking 2018 stuff, and I got four different conversations about 2018 actively going right now. We're talking about the boot camp, so there's a lot going on.
Mm-hmm. Sure enough.
Yeehaw, fella. Yeehaw.
Yeah. So I guess today, to kind of cap off what we've been doing for the past couple of weeks, we wanted to kind of dive into the very last part of the NIST OCR conference, where they were talking about the update on the audits. And this was such a good information that we kind of want to make it on show just about this one thing, because everybody wants to know what's going on, right? What's going on with the audits?
Yeah.
Which is, you know, it's kind of the funny part, because then you have some people who are like, you know, I'm not worried about no stinking audit. And then you got other people who are very worried about it. But, yeah. But they did talk about the update on the audits and some good information. And Linda Sanchez from the OCR discussed it. So let's.
Well, that's the name on the thing. I'm sure you don't even know, but we'll go with that.
That's who I think it was.
Well, there we go. Another day with David. So it was some very interesting stuff, though, that they are publishing. And again, you know, when they do this, they stick with the content in the slides because that's what they want you to know. Otherwise, it would be in a slide. You know, if they want you to know it, it's going to be published in one of these. So the important information, there were a couple of things that I am really interested in how this may become more of a terms and practices. So they did, of course, start with, let's remember what the audits are for. Identify best practices, uncover things that are scary. But then they always add, it is intended to be non-punitive. Otherwise, you know, meaning we're not going to come down on you. However, if it is significantly a mess.
Most times it is.
Or you completely fail to respond. That's really bad. If you don't send them anything or you say, I got nothing, then they going to come down on you. So we may hear of some that things didn't go well, because I have heard them mention the don't ignore me statement and see their eyes narrow. So I'm interested to see if we hear of anything that turns into something from the audits. But their intention is to be able to develop the tools and the guidance for more of the self-evaluation, breach prevention, so we can all do better at this without, you know, a breach a day or, you know, how many thousand breaches have they added? I think we've officially hit like 2,200 breaches on the Wall of Shame, or the breach portal. they did say that they are still in the process of doing the business associate desk audits, which is interesting. The statistic, so if they have, and I don't quite know for sure, you know, how many exactly covered entities they got data from, but the selection of business associates, and it says largely drawn. So that means they could have gone outside that if they knew about you. From over 20,000 entities identified by audited CEs. Mm. So now when they say they audited 166 covered entities, so 166 covered entities, you know there's got to be some duplicates, and they still came up with 20,000 business associates.
Hmm.
When somebody tells me, oh, there's not that many people that have to do HIPAA, I'm like, clearly we're not identifying our business associates properly. But, that's a lot. 20,000?
Yeah, you're looking at because I do have a calculator. You're looking at about 120 plus BAs per.
Right. So whenever somebody tells us we don't have a BA or we only have one, all my alarm bells go off. I wonder why. Because, you know, we expect somewhere, even in a small group, they're going to have 5, 6. And the, you know, larger groups, you're going to get up there, you're going to have 20, 30, 50. And then the business associates themselves are just loaded up with having to manage business associate agreements.
Mm-hmm.
But they do still allude to this on-site audit. And, you know, it's a whole new selection. But you know they're going to finish those desk audits of the business associates before they even get to this. And this is such a long process. I don't know. I'm not quaking in my boots, but that might be the kiss of death for me. But but 166 CE audits, and they split them between you're either lucky enough to be picked for a security audit, which there were only 63 they did there, which I found interesting because the previous audit showed that security is where the biggest gaps were. But I guess maybe they're having a lot of other issues, you know, that don't end up in necessarily big announcements. But the other 103 did privacy and breach notification rules.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the business associates all got hit with breach and security. So
because we don't do privacy.
I know. Well, there's a little bit, but, you know, but all of the people who say business associates don't have to worry about breach, note to self, why would they be asking breach questions if you don't have to worry about what's in it?
Yep, know what's in your breeches.
Know what's in your breeches. Stay out of my breeches. What's up, breeches?
Let's go ahead and get all that out. And I'm still working on another one.
Yeah, I know. We'll have to find plenty. Just have them all on a t-shirt. Just a long list of them. Pick one. But the interesting thing is of those 196, 90% of them were actual providers.
Mm.
So they know where they need to be looking. You know, they kind of selected in a, let's just say that it was heavily aimed at them.
Yeah. So if you're a healthcare clearinghouse, then you're doing all right.
Yeah, well, I mean, those have consolidated so much. There's just not that many, in my opinion,
compared to providers, for sure.
No, the majority of them are, you know, the industry is providers at some level. And they spread it out. They showed all the different regions of the country. And so no one could complain that you were being picked on, although I think, you know, somebody will find a reason to complain. You know, and they reiterated that they do their review and they let you review it, you, the auditee. You know, they get their report and they then are given the ability to add their 2 cents to, that's not what I said.
Mm-hmm.
And then the reiteration of, we can still get you.
Yeah.
And I do like that they made a point multiple times, even on the slides, of saying entities who fail to respond remain in the audit pool and may be subject to compliance reviews. So if I pretend that I don't know who you are and I just don't respond, I don't return your call or your email, it ain't like I'm going to quit asking, is what they're saying.
If I just be really still and quiet, they'll just go away.
Be very, very quiet.
They'll just go away.
Lay low in the grass.
If I can't see you, you can't see me.
It's like this puppy I had that at one time I loved it, that he would hide under the table, but the table had a glass top. That's what we're talking about right there. He'd be hiding under there thinking, I can't, okay, you don't see me. And I'm okay. Anyway, so when they narrowed it down, though, I mean, it's not like they did everything in these audits. And this is the part that I think is very important to note, that they didn't ask about everything. They asked about very specific things on the rules. So they wanted to know about your notice of privacy practices and that you had the stuff in it and you were sharing it. The provision of notice, meaning you offered it in an electronic form. And then your right to access. And you know, when was that? We covered that in a podcast last summer when I think that came out in like May, and I finally managed to get it an episode done of those changes in patient's right to access. And I can still go into a group and say, here's your question. If a patient asks you to email their medical records to them, are you supposed to do it? And everybody in the room will say, no.
And I'm they're like, wrong.
Wrong. You know, that's a fact-specific determination. but it is still a misunderstanding, or the word hasn't gotten out there or whatnot. But the right to access was reviewed. The timeliness of notification and content of notification on the breach rule. And then the security controls, you know, this says they're asking about a very specific thing. So they do ask about risk analysis specifically and risk management specifically.
That's all they have to ask for. That's enough.
Yeah, and they do that for both covered entities and business associates. And on the business associate, they ask about notification by a business associate with reference to content of notification. So they're doing a very specific piece there for the business associates. But I can tell you, we encourage business associates, if you worry about your reputation and servicing your clients, you better know everything they need to know and be able to do this stuff, because number one, they're going to appreciate it if you're able to help them and you've gotten this stuff to them properly. And number two, many of them are putting it in their agreements now that they can turn around and put it back on you.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have a clue, there's so many things that can go wrong. And as a business associate, if you have a breach, it likely involves multiple clients. So, you know, if you want to just throw your hands up and say, we're closed, now, that's one thing. But you know, to have this attitude of, I don't even have to deal with that, I don't have to know it, because it's the covered entity's responsibility to notify. No, it's the covered entity's responsibility to make sure the notification occurs. They can turn around and outsource it.
Mm-hmm.
So if I tell you, David, hey, Mr. Techno nerd, you caused a breach, I want you to fix this, and you're telling all my clients, you don't want to have that deer in the headlights kind of look.
And we're like, shut the lights off. Shh, be quiet.
Everybody get down.
Get down. Shh.
It's like what you do on Halloween when you don't have any candy.
Yeah, I know. I can see you through the mail slot. No, you don't. Go away. We are not the people you seek.
Yeah, there you go. So there's our nerd approach in so many ways. So when they ask for this documentation, and what do we say about documentation?
So you don't document. I mean, what do you mean? What do we say? Yeah, if you don't document, it didn't happen.
There you go. I was like, wow.
Well, we got several things we say about it. You know, like document.
Any one of those would have worked.
Sorry, I wasn't following you down the rabbit hole.
It was well worth that moment of. Okay, so if it's not documented, it didn't happen. Document. All of those apply. Because under timeliness of notification, they don't want you to show them that you have a policy that says you will follow the law, which is what many people assume they could provide. What they want is documentation for 5 small and large breach incidents showing your timeliness of notification. Hello, 5.
Five.
Let's count that. How many fingers you got? And... toes. No, I'm just kidding. They're at 5. All you gotta do is 5.
Cool.
So, yeah, cool. If you have it, but on that timeliness and also on the content, they want to see 5 large breach incidents, then the breach template / form notification, and then the copy of a single written notice.
Wow. So, and we talked about this before too, where they've already said that if you don't have any breach incidents,
something's wrong.
That's as bad as having a breach incident.
I know, because that means you're not looking. You know, you should have at least some small ones. And, you know, simple things like I gave the paper to the wrong person kind of stuff, or I sent a fax to the wrong person. Those things matter.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, it's kind of like if you don't respond, they do know. Yeah, you know, that's and we're, well, it, that'll be obvious when we get to those effort ratings that they've added. Mm-hmm. Under the risk analysis on the security audits, they look for policies and procedures related to the implementation of risk analysis 6 years prior to the date of audit notification.
Mm-hmm.
Bam. If it ain't documented.
It ain't happening.
Documentation from the previous year demonstrating implementation of risk analysis process, how it is available to persons responsible for the process, and evidence the documentation is periodically reviewed and updated as needed. So that's along with the policies and procedures and your current and prior risk analysis results and all of the, you know, that's Consuela stuff right there if you're already. Then you've got risk management. Again, they say documentation demonstrating the security measures implemented to reduce risk as a result of the current risk analysis or assessment. So what new things did I do? And documentation used to manage risk from the previous calendar year.
Mm-hmm.
And policies and procedures prior to for the prior 6 years.
And this brings up a good point, too, where I'm sure you see this. I do. People tend to do documentation, and if they change it, they just make the changes, and they save it, and they move on. They don't keep the past copies so that you can show what was your policy and procedure a year ago or 2 years ago.
Or if they go in and see it, and it doesn't need a change, they don't make a note that they reviewed it then.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not like you got to change them every time, but you need to make sure that you don't need to change them. That's the point anyway. So, yeah, write it down. But that history, don't be thinking you'll just be able to pull the Microsoft Word history on it, because that ain't happening either. It's another reason you have to have a documentation plan and an archive plan. You have to plan to have a plan and document the plan to document that you're going to have a plan of documentation. So, but here we get to, this is some new stuff that they added in, and I hadn't seen them do this before, and I'm fascinated by it to see if it continues being used, because this reference was a lot more clear. Is to, instead of saying, yes, you have it, yes, no, you don't, and, oh, I'm compliant, I'm not compliant, they're saying, what was your effort?
Right.
You know, did you try hard enough? Did you give 100%?
I did try.
I tried.
On a scale from 1 to 5.
How did you try? And that's what they're looking at. So, you know, one, you expect, okay, the audit results indicate the entity is in compliance with goals and objectives of the selected standards and implementation specifications. Yippee, Skippy. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. Then right. You got rating number two. The audit indicates the entity substantially meets criteria. It maintains appropriate policies and procedures. So that's pretty much where I would expect to be is, you know, a number two.
You are a number two for sure.
Oh.
I'm sorry. You put it there.
I'm sorry.
You put it right there. I couldn't help it.
I'm going to regret that one forever. Yeah. Okay. So anyway.
Could help myself.
I know, yeah. You're proud now. Okay, so then number three. Well, moving right along, because we have a time limit here.
Yep.
Okay, the audit results indicate entity efforts minimally address audited requirements. Minimally. You're doing the bare minimum. Analysis indicates the entity has made attempts to comply, but implementation is inadequate, or some efforts indicate misunderstandings of the requirements. Now, I'm not, and this is a very generalized kind of thing. that I'm going to ask you here, but isn't that what you see for the people who, when you go in and you first start working with them, they're the ones that'll tell you they're compliant?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, that is what people think is compliant in so many cases when we first start working with them. Oh, I'm HIPAA compliant. Oh, I'm HIPAA certified. I have a HIPAA seal of approval.
Yep, you're right.
Yeah, so many, that is to, you know, and that's a three. So they think they're there, and they're just minimally addressing the audited standards. Then number four, audit results indicate that the entity made negligible efforts to comply with the audited requirements. Policies and procedures submitted for review are copied directly from an association template. We've talked about this before.
Right.
Evidence of training is poorly documented and generic. We've talked about that before. So all of the ones where you get a template and you fill it out and you say, that's my policies and procedures, and everybody does some very basic 15-minute HIPAA video training that you pay $25 for,
mm-hmm.
that is negligible effort. That's number four. And on your scale of 1 to 5, and 5 being very bad.
Right.
4 is not where you want to be, because 5 is the entity did not provide OCR with evidence of serious attempt to comply with the rules and enable individual rights with regards to PHI. So to me, most of the people we run into are at 3, 4, or 5. I would say many of them are at 4. Some of them are at 3. Those are the ones that think they're compliant.
Right.
And we get excited when we run into people that are at 2. And I wouldn't even call, I can't say that I would be able to provide every single thing they might ask for. But as a business associate, you know, we don't necessarily, we get a little bit of a pass on 6 years back. But even then, you know, I've got stuff back to 2012, 2011. But wow, I don't know about. I would be a number 2. We're going to leave it at that. But I'd be fine with that. I'd be fine with that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Where do you think you would land, David?
2.75. I do want to reserve the right to say, I didn't know. I don't understand.
I am misunderstanding.
Yeah. I do want to just reserve the right. I don't understand that.
I think those are very, very important, and we're going to start using them as a reference. I mean, they just came out in this. This is the first time I've actually really seen them explained this way. But I'm definitely going to start using this as a reference when working with our clients to say, look, here's the training you're doing. Here's your policies and procedures that you got this template on. My favorite is the ones who lately I've had multiple clients who sent us a pre-printed book that says policies and procedures.
Mm-hmm.
HIPAA. All righty then. So then they gave you the total numbers there, rating, statistical analysis, because everything's in very summary form. And it starts under the breach, the timeliness and notification. Everybody seems to understand you need to do that in 60 days.
Mm-hmm.
And they're doing an okay job at it. So 67 of those 103 actually got a 1 rating at that. 15, however, got a 5. So that's not good.
Yeah.
And that leaves 21 in the middle at the 2, 3, and 4. But then you move down to the actual content of that notification, doing the, you know, you just, by the way, oopsie, gotta go. Not enough. The content of the rating, they only 14 did correctly. Now, by and large, most people fell in that 2, 3, and 4 area. But then you get into privacy and that mm-hmm. right of access, where clearly that word isn't getting out.
Mm-hmm.
Number 1 rating, 1 entity.
1 person.
Out of 103.
Wow.
1. The notice in content in their notice of privacy practices, 2.
Wow.
2. So apparently everybody knows they need to have it like on their website and stuff. They do have it, but often I would wager that that got stuck out there when the audit was done. Because you can't necessarily prove how long it's been out there. Yeah. I don't know. I would argue that, but they got a pass on it. But security, honey, security, it was way worse. It needed life support.
So let me guess, on a scale from 1 to 5, people who did the risk analysis got a 0.
No one got a 1.
Nobody got a 1.
Yeah, no one. Out of 63, 0 got a 1. 13 got a 5. So, you know, that's still, you're saying 50 people, 50 different entities. And all of them fell, and with no one getting a 1, you got to figure you don't have 50 of them sitting at a 2.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, so you're looking at 3s and 4s. And then when you get to risk management, well, somebody was proud. Now, they apparently couldn't do their analysis, but they were managing the risk they did know about. Because you got 1, they got a 1. But 17, they got a 5. So you still have 45 in that middle area. More than likely in the 3 and 4, not the 2s.
Mm-hmm.
And that right there tells you where the problems are. You can't manage the risk. You know, my mentor always says, you can't manage something you can't measure.
Right.
So if I don't even know what it is, how can I manage it?
Exactly.
Yeah, that's what David said. But the overall piece of the pie says, based on these numbers, that the audit told them again what the previous one told them. In fact, it may have told them even worse, because with all of the people like us out here promoting, hey, you need to do this, you need to do this, and you read about the breach du jour and the ransomware attacks and all of these kind of things, and those are happening constantly, and we're still not doing better in these areas. So, oops. I know. What do you say to that?
I didn't know.
But, okay, there's good information. I really like the compliance effort ratings. I think that's very, very valuable. And it might help people understand when we tell them you're not doing enough, what that means.
Mm-hmm.
You know, oh, well, we got training. Okay. You know, you're doing the bare minimum. You're doing the bare minimum. And but, you know, used to, we might have given them a 3 on that bare minimum, because now they're saying generic training is a 4. So we're going to start, I can tell you right now, we'll be giving them numbers like this instead of the numbers that we've been doing. And if I don't start it before, you know, we call this assessment season.
Mm-hmm.
The end of the year, everybody does their assessments. So this is assessment season. It might be time to change.
All right.
So anyway, we'll have links to the slides and all that kind of stuff on the notes. And there's an app for that. Don't forget that. But I think we're done with that for today.
Yes, we are. That's good stuff, though. I am interested to see how it looks when they start putting that that rating system to use more. And
yeah, I hope they do. It's more obvious.
Yeah.
I want to see the business associate numbers. That's what I want to see.
I bet you do. So, yeah, it's going to be some interesting stuff for sure. But anyway, we'll talk about more of that as when it comes out. We will be on it.
Or something like that.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's our show for today, folks. We thank you for listening. Remember, you can catch our podcast on the website, on your favorite podcast player, on our app in the App Store. It's also on the Play Store for those of you who are the, you know, the awesome Android users. Take a minute, if you will, and review us on iTunes or social media or anywhere else we have our reviews. We like reviews. That's what we work for. Visit us on our website at helpmewithhipaa.com. And remember, for Donna and myself, the HIPAA is not about compliance. It's about patient care.
You've been listening to the Help Me with HIPAA podcast, hosted by Donna Grendel and David Sims, the show created to help you with HIPAA. For more information or to ask us a question, visit our website at helpmewithhipaa.com. Neither Donna Grendel or David Sims are attorneys, and they do not offer binding legal advice concerning regulatory compliance. The information in this podcast should not be relied upon or construed as legal advice in any way. Consult your attorney for legal advice concerning compliance with HIPAA regulations.